T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Shirtless.
What the hell's going on, man?
You have no idea, Chucky.
Richard Justice from the MLB Network. Why? He's going to join us in 30 minutes at 8:30. Major League Baseball released a statement today. I'm going to give you this to you right now. Quote, Major League Baseball issued the following statement this morning. MLB has been actively considering numerous contingency plans that would allow play to commence once the public health situation has improved to the point that it is safe to do so. While we have discussed the idea of staging games at one location as one potential option, we have not settled on that option or developed a detailed plan. While we continue to interact regularly with governmental and public health officials, we have not sought or received approval of any plan from federal, state, and local officials or the Players Association. The health and safety of our employees, players, fans, and the public at large are paramount, and we are not ready at this time to endorse any particular format for staging games in light of the rapidly changing public health situation caused by the coronavirus. That's exactly what you would expect from Major League Baseball. The least cool statement imaginable. Nothing in there reeks of coolness, but it's not meant to. Here's what this was. We're going to leak a plan to Jeff Passan of ESPN. He's got a huge platform. Jeff Passan's going to write about our plan in very specific detail. 30 teams in Arizona, 13 ballparks, 7-inning games, double headers, electronic strike zones. We're going to give him everything he needs. He's going to put it up on the Worldwide Leader. Everyone's going to talk about it, and we're going to get, wait for it, free market research. People have responded, and now Major League Baseball, whoa, we care about health. We care about the people. Hold on, we haven't endorsed anything yet. Yeah, we know what you're doing. It's smart. We'll discuss it with Richard Justice at 8:30. But for right now, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 8 o'clock hour of Jolo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Content creators, we are. Sometimes we find great ideas that others have come up with and we try to implement them on our show. That's what I want to do here. Start, sit, cut. Or I believe it's called start, bench, cut. I'm going to give you 3 NBA players, Dibs and Low. They're going to get 3 NBA players. They have to pick one of those players to start for them. Now, it's not just some average nothing game, and it's not game 7 of the NBA Finals, because I know we're going to get bogged down in a lot of the semantics here. It's an important game. Let's just say that. It's a very important game. One of the 3 names I give you has to start. One of the 3 names I give you has to ride the bench. And one of the 3 names I give you is going to be cut. Now, I want to make it clear, because I know the text line went nuts on this earlier. We're not ripping off anyone's idea. I don't know who created the idea. I saw it on Hoop Central. We're borrowing. It's a great idea. We're paying tribute and homage to those who came up with this, because it's a time where we're trying to get creative and we're trying to work new topics into the conversation. We're trying to have some fun. This is a great idea. I want to see what these 2 have to say. So does everyone get the rules? I'm going to give you 3 NBA players. We're going to start with current guys. We're going to work through a few pods, and then I've got some old school guys I'm going to bring in. We're all good?
We're good.
I'm good.
Good to go.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Pod number 1. Start, bench, cut. Dibs, I'm going to begin with you. Damian Lillard, Russell Westbrook, Kyrie Irving. And again, everyone's considered healthy, so don't worry about some of that stuff. So it's Damian Lillard, Russell Westbrook, Kyrie Irving. Start 1, bench 1, cut 1.
Well, it's comes down for me the tough choice early, which is the cut, and it's Russ or Kyrie, and I'm going to cut Kyrie. So I'm going to start. Yeah, I'm going to start Dame, and I'm going to bring Russ in off the bench, and I'm going to cut Kyrie. I like Russ's ability as a quote six man. I'm a big fan of Dame Dollar and where his game is right now, and Kyrie, Can't trust him. He's gone.
Greatest handles in the game. He's cut. All right. Start, bench, cut. Damian Lillard, Russell Westbrook, Kyrie Irving, and you can play along on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795 if you'd like. Low, how do you see it? Same as Dibs?
No, not in the same church. And actually, Joe, we're not even sitting on the same pew because I'm cutting Westbrook. I'm starting Kyrie, and Dame's coming off the bench.
Ooh, okay. So you're going to start Irving, whereas Dibs is going to cut him. Take me through why. Why does Irving get the start?
I think that you're talking about handles. You're talking about a guy that can facilitate a guy. You're talking about all these guys are healthy at the peak of their game.
Yes.
Kyrie at his peak of the game, he and Steph, their handles, unbelievable. It's not one guy he can't beat off the dribble. I don't care who it is. And take to the hole. Kyrie, dude, when he was on the top of his game, unfreaking believable. And now you're talking about Dame. I can bring him off the bench and have him light it up from the three. And he, you know, gives me, now I know I can still get scoring with my bench. That's why I'm leaving Dame. Russ, okay. Just don't trust him.
Okay, pod number two. Start, bench, cut. Pod number two. Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, Anthony Davis. Pod number two for start, bench, cut. Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, and Anthony Davis. I don't know who would like to go first.
I got it.
Lo, you would like to go first? Lo, you go first this time.
Yeah, you know, with me, it's I'm going to start Kawhi. And coming off the bench is AD, and the last guy, I'm cutting.
Whoa. James Harden getting cut. The beard. Perhaps the most dynamic offensive player in the game. Very interesting to see. Dibs, how do you see it? Start, bench, cut, Kawhi, Harden, Anthony Davis.
I'm going to start Anthony Davis. He's about as unique of a player as you're going to find in the association. And at his peak, he's an unguardable player. Comes down to the other two, and as much as I've been critical of Kawhi, you can't cut Kawhi. You got to cut James Harden. James Harden's an unbelievable scorer, but wow. I don't think he's shown you an ability to be a winner. And as Mike Singletary would let you know, I want winners, and I'm of the same camp. So Kawhi comes off the bench. I start AD, and the beard has got to get cut, figuratively
Harden's
and
been
literally.
Like- He's been like top three in what MVP voting for how many years in a row? He gets cut by both of you. Very interesting. Not saying it's wrong, just very interesting.
Just game seven of the Western Conference Finals when he missed, what was he, 3 of 13 from three? And he was a big part of that. In the biggest moment of his career, he turtled up. So he's gone.
All right. Start, bench, cut, pod number three. Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, Luka Doncic. Start, bench, cut. Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers, Jason Tatum of the Boston Celtics, Luka Doncic of the Dallas Mavericks. Dibs, how do you see it?
Man, this is a tough one because all three could really be in all three different spots. I think it's easiest to start with the cut, but in this one, it's really not. I'm going to start Luka Doncic. I think he's an unbelievable force right now in the league. And the other two, it's almost a toss-up, but I like Embiid's upside, so I'm going to keep Embiid and bench him, which means Tatum has to be cut.
Jason Tatum was having a huge season, going to get a max extension from the Celtics this offseason. Dibs is cutting him. Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, Luka Doncic. Start, bench, cut, low.
For me, this is a tough one, but believe it or not, I'm starting Embiid. Now I got my big man. I got my big man who can shoot. He can run the floor. He can play D. It's nothing he can't do. And then it's easy for me. Now I got Kawhi and I got Tatum playing defense and two guys that can create, do the stuff in Kyrie. So unfortunately, Luke, yes, good player, can shoot. Defensively, I don't know his divisibility. I think he could be a little liability on that situation. And he's not yet there as a true dog. I think the guy's unbelievable. He's going to be a great phenom, but right now, that's the guys that I have.
All right, interesting. I've got two more current-day pods, and then we're going to move to the all-timers pod. This pod right here, start, bench, cut. Zion Williamson, Paul George, Klay Thompson. Start, bench, cut. Zion Williamson, Paul George, Klay Thompson. Lo, would you like to go first on this one? This is going to be tough.
Absolutely.
I'm putting you on the rack here with your boy from Fresno.
Yeah. When I look at it and you think about what am I getting when I'm talking about a Klay Thompson, I'm getting a guy that out of my list and out of the guys that I've drafted thus far, Joe, no one.
Well, hold on. Let me stop
not
you right
drafted,
there.
It's but
not,
just,
right. These guys aren't working on a team together.
Right.
It's
right,
just individual pods.
Okay. So this particular pod, I like Klay. I like Klay that I'm going to keep for sure. And my two other guys, I'm sorry, Joe, I was writing them down.
It's Zion Williamson, Paul George, and Klay Thompson. Start one, bench one, cut one. Dibs, if you're ready, you can go. Low. You can think it over. It's okay. Now, take a little thought. You know,
It's Klay, and then it's Zion, and I'm letting Paul George go.
Man, whoa, that's tough. Whoa. I thought we were going to be a church pew seat for the first time because I also had Klay down as the starter, but I went the other direction with the other two. Paul George defensively, he's very underrated. I mean, you know, I don't have to sing to the choir on this one, Low. You're a big time Paul George guy, and it's love tough it. To cut Zion Williamson, but you've seen what he could potentially be, and you see what he is, which is unbelievable. But I'm going to side with the experience and the knowledge of Paul George.
Who's got a bigger chance of taking over a game, in your opinion, to those two guys?
Zion Williamson. Yeah.
That's what it came with.
Wow. I think a little recency bias, too, which I can understand because Paul George has been injured most of the season. So I think there's a little recency bias, too. We're not seeing Paul George at his best. Yeah. I know,
but
I know.
I love him.
He was hard. That's why with OKC last year. We asked this last year with OKC. No one's doubting
you
heard, Paul George.
You heard me, Joe. You almost had to skip me. I was just like, it was gut wrenching.
Fresno on Fresno Crime. Steve, yes. If you can mark that tape. When
that
Low
was so hard.
Fresno.
You were like, Low, let me give you a break. You even tried to come save me because I didn't want to let it come out. I was like, let me say it. Say it, Low.
Well, you're not giving these in advance, so you got to be able to put some thought together. So I want to be able to buy you time, which is why I want to read through it twice. And if
that
just
was
a little
tough.
Bit, it's okay. Just take us just through the
tough.
Thought process. That was a prelude to this one. This is the last one for the current day guys. This one, I'm interested to see. I want to put this to the callers as well. This is Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Start one, bench one, cut one. Very interested to see where everyone goes. Start, bench, cut. LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Stephen Curry. Start, bench, cut. And I want to see it on the Chilton Auto Body text line as well. You can just put them in order. You don't have to write start, bench, cut. Just give us your three names in that order, though. Start, bench, cut. LeBron, Giannis, Steph. Feet to the, wait for it, fire. Dibs, you look like you're ready.
Oh, yeah.
I know this is jamming up everybody.
And this is in their prime. Dibs, this is their prime. Joe saying at their prime.
Yes. Healthy prime.
Yes.
I appreciate you jumping in with the provision of something that I've been paying attention to the entire time. It's really not that difficult to me because
you start
Steph Curry first and foremost. He's the most transcendent offensive force you've ever seen. And then when it comes down to the other two, you think about a guy who has lost more NBA finals than everyone outside of the Laker teams. Jerry West, the logo, who's the losingest player in finals history. I believe he lost 10 times. LeBron having lost 6. I want winners, as I mentioned. I don't want losers. LBJ gets the scissors, and I bring Giannis off the bench.
Start, bench, cut in order. Start, bench, cut. Which three are you doing? You don't hit us up, Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. You don't have to write start, bench, cut. Just give them in your order.
Church,
it's LeBron.
Pew, Low.
It's LeBron. It's Giannis. It's Steph. That's what we should call it. Church pew seat.
I love church pew seat.
All right.
My
so
brother.
Dibs, you know, goes. I'm not Steph even, gets the start. Giannis on the bench. LeBron gets cut. Which way do you see it, Low?
You know what, Joe? On this one, I think I'm just going to bow out. I'm not even going to give my picks because it's just like I can't. You know, you always tell me, Joe, you're like, Lorenzo, if you want people to take you serious sometimes, you said at times you need to, you know, to be serious. And this is one of those moments that I decide to be serious. And I don't even know if I want to. I'm thinking about being serious and not even indulging in this particular one. But if I have to, I will.
You're gonna have to. But okay. I really
don't make
like
me pull out
the
your contract.
Preamble.
Yeah,
I really like the preamble.
Okay, thank you.
It was
I'm
more
not
of a pre-ramble, is what it was.
Are you
Dibs?
Finished?
Dibs. He has his turn. He's set the stage.
Track, Steve,
you had your turn. Langford, I'm coming to you next on this one. LeBron, Giannis, and Steph. Start one, bench one, cut one. How do you see it, Low?
Honestly, Joe, this is very easy for me. I would start LeBron James. And my number two guy who I would put on the bench, believe it or not, come off the bench is Steph because he is the greatest three-point shooter. And Giannis hasn't won anything. And, yes, I've seen Giannis crumble under pressure. But, yes, he's a phenomenal player. It's tough, but with me it's easy. It's LeBron, Steph, Giannis would be cut.
The text line's going nuts. The text line is all over the damn place. There is nowhere near a consensus on this one. I was hoping this would do that. I was hoping. Now, a lot of people said I should be using Durant instead of Curry. I wanted Steph to be in there because he's the hometown guy. I know we can play a little bit to everyone's heartstrings, so I wanted to make sure that was part of this. I'm interested. Lo, I was wondering if you were going to cut Steph because I know you're a huge Giannis fan, but it was nice to see you coming off the bench with him. Dibs, I figured you were going to start Steph because I know you love him, and it's okay for all of us to have a little bit of bias. That's part of what we get to with sports. I'm surprised
okay
LeBron got cut,
too.
Though.
You're right.
He cut LeBron. Can you believe
yeah,
that, Lo?
A joke.
I
don't believe anything
you know.
He says that he says anymore. Look at him. He's giving me the smirk, Joe. And this is when I wish I was in the studio. This is
Come
the
on.
Day where I was
I
in
wish
the studio.
You were, too, because you'd have clothes
we
on.
Would be, this would be different. I'm telling you, this outcome probably, this is one of those times that I probably would stand up and walk over to you and be like, really? Are you really going to do this? Are you trying to be that much of a troll? You're going to cut a guy who's arguably the greatest player that ever played in the NBA? Are you friggin' kidding me? Daniel, you know what? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm a backup.
No, this okay. would have been one of those times where you would have taken the headphones off, you would have dropped them on the console, you would have stormed over toward the door and made some big charade about how you're leaving. That's it. I'm out. Just give it a rest, Lo. Instead, sit back and listen to the reasoning. When you look at six losses in the NBA Finals, what does that indicate to you?
How many does Giannis have?
To me, that a guy the biggest moment has been unable to get it done at times. He's won a quaint little, three? Wade carried him to two, and then he finally got his own in Cleveland. It's all right.
From the 510, Dibs is an embarrassment for cutting LeBron and should be fired immediately.
Text of the day.
What?
From the 510, different number, also from the 510, just wanted to confirm, LOL, Dibs is on drugs and not weed. It's LeBron, Steph, Greek.
That's real. And that's being real. The majority of the text line right now is going to have, they're going to have either Steph and LeBron, and they're going to cut the Greek. The majority is, that's what they're going to do. Because look at the products. The problem, you got a two-time MVP in Stephen Curry, and what LeBron has done is freaking unprecedented. For you to sit here and cut, I can't even finish. Go ahead, Joe.
Today's show brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. Nice guy. Start one, bench one, cut one. Hang LeBron on. James, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Stephen Curry.
I'm going to be starting Stephen Curry because Steph's the greatest player of all time, then I'm going to be putting Giannis on the bench, and then LeBron, get out of here.
You're a joke.
Okay.
That's
where so you're going to cut LeBron as well. He came in there with his definitive. All right. Keeping this up, Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Start, bench, cut. LeBron, Giannis, Steph. It's not going to get any easier. All right? Now we're moving into the phase of these pods where it's former players. First one I'm going to give you, although one of these guys is current. One of these guys is current. I had to bring him into the list because I want to see what you think. Kobe, MJ, LeBron. Kobe, MJ, and LeBron. Start one, bench one, cut one. I guess I have a feeling where Dibs is going based on the previous conversation. Cut one. Kobe, MJ, LeBron. Lo, go ahead.
Yeah, you're starting Michael. LeBron's coming off the bench, and you're cutting Kobe. Michael and Kobe are pretty much mirror images of one another. Michael give him the edge. Michael's, you know, what he's been able to do, you know, titles, six NBA titles, what the guy, unprecedented. And then you got LeBron because you know what he can do. So that one, me, it's tough, but that's what I'm doing.
All right. So you're going to go start Michael Jordan, bench LeBron James, cut Kobe Bryant. Dibs, how do you see it?
Yeah, a little too soon for me on that one. I'm going to just go in order of titles, and you got six titles, so you start Michael. Then you got Kobe with five titles, and he comes off the bench. And then the guy with really one title and then two that he was, you know, kind of helped along with. And by the way, when he gagged against Dallas in 2011, he should have a fourth. But we'll put that aside for this conversation and just say LeBron gets cut for the second time. J.J. Barea and Dirk Nowitzki in Dallas were able to beat LeBron and Dwayne Wade in the NBA Finals. I don't think Michael Jordan would have allowed J.J. Barea to come in and take his lunch like that. So LeBron gets cut for the second straight pod.
All right, for the next pod, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Start one, bench one, cut one. Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Dibs, would you like to start with this one?
Yeah,
and
I'd love to.
I just said low dibs, so that doesn't really help anybody. Dibs, would you like to start with this one?
Yeah, and while I'm alienating friends and losing friends, it appears Lo and I are no longer close, and now Steiny can add me to the list of people who are no longer my friends, because Larry Bird's getting cut in this one. Kareem is arguably the greatest player of all time. You whippersnappers don't remember the impact that Lou Alcindor had in Milwaukee, so he starts. Magic comes off the bench, and Larry Bird, unfortunately, gets cut.
All right. Kareem starts, Magic off the bench, Larry Bird gets cut. Lo, how do you see it? I don't think you guys have been aligned on a single one yet.
No, we haven't, and we won't be again on this one. For this one, though, at least I'm starting Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson, I think he's one of the only players, if you think about what he can do, but played it at a high level. You forget this dude played center. Kareem was injured. Joe, this guy played 1 through 5. He's that phenomenal of an athlete. What he brought to the game, Magic Johnson for me would be the starter. And yes, Kareem would come off the bench, and Larry would be cut.
Ooh, Steinmetz is not going to like that. Larry Legend cut by both individuals. One of the few agreements throughout start, bench, cut. All right, next one up. Akeem Olajuwon, Tim Duncan, Wilt Chamberlain. Start one, bench one, cut one. Akeem Olajuwon, Tim Duncan, Wilt Chamberlain.
Whew.
I wasn't going to make any of them easy for you.
I mean, this might be the toughest one yet, Lo, for me. Go ahead, Lo. I'm going to need a minute here. I'm going to need a 20.
It's Akeem starting, and then it's Wilk, and I'm cutting Timmy.
Tim Duncan, the big fundamental, one of the greatest players of all time, gets cut. But, again, he's up against the Dream and Wilt Chamberlain. Dibs, how do you see it? Start one, bench one, cut one. Akeem, Tim Duncan, Wilt Chamberlain.
This one is tough because, like you say, Tim Duncan, one of the greatest players of all time, you're going to cut him. But Wilt Chamberlain with a 100-point game, you can't get rid of him. And I think Akeem Olajuwon has an argument to be a top 10 player of all time, regardless of position. So I'm going to start Wilt just on deference to the OG status. And I'm a huge Akeem guy, so he comes off the bench. And I'm afraid I'm not going to cut Tim Duncan. I'm going to cut myself first and let Tim take my place in this bit because he deserves to be here more than I do.
Two people on the Chilton Auto Body text line also see it. Wilt, Akeem, Duncan. So they're both cutting Duncan as well. Now think about that. If Duncan had personality, I guarantee you it's not going to be unanimous that everyone's cutting Tim Duncan. But it's just like Duncan was kind of boring, the big fundamental, and I think that's what hurts him here. I think that hurts him more than anything. If he had all types of pizzazz like Shaq and then did what he did in his career, y'all wouldn't be cutting him. But that's
Sunday. I watched that finals against the against Miami Sunday. Tim was unbelievable, legendary. Oof. Down there in the post.
He couldn't stop that.
You couldn't stop him, boy. He was going to work. Legendary.
Going to the bank.
All right, next one for you. Karl Malone, Charles Barkley, Isaiah Thomas. Zeke, not the most recent Isaiah Thomas. Start one, bench one, cut one. Karl Malone, Charles Barkley, Isaiah Thomas. I don't know who wants to start with this one. Lo, would you like to start with this one? Malone, Barkley, and Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah,
you can take your time if you'd like.
With me, it's Malone, he would cut you. You know the mailman. He tried to deliver the mail, but I remember that one famous play when Michael Jordan walks up to him and says, "The mail don't run on Sunday," and he misses the free throw. So for that there, he comes off my bench.
Malone off the bench, okay.
And I'm starting Charles Barkley.
Woo! Cutting Isaiah Thomas, benching Karl Malone, starting the round mound of rebound Charles Barkley. Dibs. Start, bench, cut. Malone, Barkley, Zeke.
We're in wildly different camps on this one because I'm starting Karl Malone. He's just such a dominant force, scoring, rebounding, great defender as well. Isaiah Thomas, Zeke, comes off my bench. Just a phenomenal point guard at all levels. And Charles Barkley, for me, guy who was unable to get it done in the biggest of spots. And quite frankly, in my opinion, a little bit overrated. Barkley gets the scissors.
Barkley gets the scissors. All right, your next pod. 3 pods to go. Joe, Lo, and Dibs, start, bench, cut. You can play along in the Chilton Auto Body text line. And if you're just catching us now and you want to hear it from the beginning, the toughest one for everyone seemed to be LeBron, Giannis, and Steph. Download radio.com. Get the app. favorite 95.7 The Game. You can always use the rewind feature to go back and check out what we've been talking about later on. All right, next pod. Kevin Garnett, Scottie Pippen, Dr. J. Start, bench, cut. Kevin Garnett, Scottie Pippen, Julius Erving, a.k.a. The Doctor. Dibs, if you're ready to go, we'd like to hear from you.
Yeah, I'm going to try to curry favor with Steiny again with this one, trying to get back in his good graces. I'm going to start Scottie Pippen for his unbelievable two-way ability. Kevin Garnett, freak of nature, you have to keep. He comes off the bench, and Dr. J is a player who Matt Stymieth has railed against throughout the entirety of his career, and he's kind of swung me over into his camp as being overrated. I'm cutting the Doctor, Lowe.
How about that? Lowe, Garnett, Pippen, and Dr. J, start, bench, cut.
Doctor was one of the guys who had to carry the NBA for a while. This was a guy, Doctor, with the sweet slams, the things that he could do, brought to the game. Doctor's coming off my bench. The other one was hard to do, to be able to cut a guy that I think that's friggin' unbelievable. I'd cut Scottie Pippen and KD. Oof. You know, Kevin Garnett is my starter. So Dr. J's coming off the bench. Kevin Garnett's my starter.
All right, point guards for you. A little point guard action. Jason Kidd, John Stockton, Allen Iverson. Start, bench, cut. Jason Kidd, John Stockton, Allen Iverson. This is going to be interesting.
This one's
very
brutal.
Interesting here. Lowe looks aggressive here. He looks ready.
Give it to me, Lowe.
For me, it's easy. I'm starting Stockton. I know that what John Stockton is going to do night in and night out with the consistency that he's going to bring to the table, and you know he could score, he can do it all. There's a guy, and then, you know, just this next one's tough. Between Jason Kidd, Sis Leader, what he was able to do, one of the, you know, behind Stockton, he'll never beat Stockton, but that's why Stockton was a Sis Leader of all time. Jason Kidd, unbelievable player. This one's hard, him and Iverson. But if I have to do this, Kidd gets cut, Iverson comes off my bench.
Oh, okay, man, Jason, I thought Kidd. We had it. I thought we had the church pew seat right there. The way you laid it out was exactly what I was thinking. I'm starting John Stockton, and it came down to the other two, and I went the other way. Jason Kidd.
Really? It was tough. That one was.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I'm skewing local.
Low, I agree with you that this guy is nothing more than a common troll. He trolled you on LeBron.
Has been cut.
I just gave him three Sixers in a row. He cut Charles Barkley, he cut Dr. J, and he cut Iverson. He's trolling me on the Sixers, and he's trolling you on LeBron. The entire segment from a Dibley perspective has now been flushed down the toilet.
Whoa.
Biased. Trolling at its absolute worst. I got one last one for you. You can marinate on it over the break because we are up against it. Clyde Drexler.
That was good, Dibs.
Dirk Nowitzki and James Worthy. Clyde Drexler, Dirk Nowitzki, and James Worthy. That's the last one. Start, bench, cut. Let us know on the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. What's coming up on The Game is brought to you by Smart and Final. Richard Justice, MLB.com correspondent, MLB Network contributor, set to join us. How legit, how excited should we get over baseball possibly returning in May based on this plan that was revealed late last night? We're going to have that for you on the other side. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs.
That's what passes for radio when you're not around, Joe.
On 95.7 The Game.
Let's go to the phones. MLB.com correspondent, MLB Network contributor, one of the best in the business, Richard Justice, kind enough to join Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Richard, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Baseball finds itself in the headlines this morning, the report last night that perhaps the sport could come back in May, 2 to 3 weeks of training camp, and then all 30 teams begin playing at 13 ballparks in Arizona. When you saw that news, what did you think of?
You mean after I stopped screaming for joy? What did I think of? Look, what it reflects is the fact that the owners and players badly want to play. And the first issue, and baseball released a statement today emphasizing that, is a public health issue. When is it safe? When is it safe for the players, the employees, everything like that? When is it safe to devote some resources to you know, getting the games back on the field? Once that happens, and, you know, we don't, any of us know when that's going to be, But an optimistic viewpoint, I heard Mark Cuban say this about the NBA, is that maybe we can be back up and playing in May. I think maybe Mark has backed off some of that. But what it reflects is the players and owners want to play, and once it's safe to go back to the ballpark, all the other stuff is fine print. Now, the fine print is daunting because you're going to have to play night games in Phoenix in the summer. You're going to have to play triple headers at Chase Field and all of that. You're going to have to quarantine the players, take them away from their families for 4 months. But the larger thing is the players badly want to play. And, I'm sure you guys feel the same way. I was thinking about it the other day. I would kill for a Lakers-Clippers playoff game right now. But I think there's going to be such a hunger to get us back at some point to doing normal things, and nothing is more normal than watching a baseball game. Lots to work out, but the intent is when it's safe, we're going to do it.
Agreed about the thirst and the hunger for sports. National championship right. game would have been yesterday. Masters would have started in 2 days, and we'd be into a second or third season of regular baseball. If they play seven-inning games and they play doubleheaders and they end up playing in maybe 100-degree heat toward the summer, does this convolute what baseball is supposed to be about?
Yeah, I think you get caught up in, well, we never did it that way. Baseball, the one thing this commissioner, Rob Manfred, has made clear, and his predecessor, Bud Selig, is we're going to look at different things. You know, when Bud instituted the wild card playoff berths, when he started regular interleague play, he would hear from people, you have ruined the game. It was never that way in my grandfather's game. And I think what we're dealing with now is a situation like we have never had in this country, certainly not in 102 years. And what's the best way to work within the parameters of what we've been given? If we play seven innings, if we have 33-man rosters and all of that, you know, the world's not going to come screeching to a halt. People want to watch baseball. The players want to play.
When you think about the overall sentiment of what people are going to say, do you think over time, if they start, do you think over time people will say, you know what, it's great that it did. How will history view baseball if they go forward with the time schedule that they have, at least the last night?
Yeah, there's been some research about how did we handle it in 1918 after the flu epidemic, and it was terrifying, and it extended, had an impact on two seasons. I think the way people are going to look at it is 50 years from now, we're going to look back on this time, and I saw the Surgeon General said, this is our 9/11, this is our Pearl Harbor. We're going to look back on everybody was trying to do the best they can. We have health workers that are putting their lives on the line every single day, and we have researchers working like crazy to find treatment, to find a vaccine. When you stop and think about it, it's still hard to get your mind around the fact that all the things you could do 6 months ago, most of the things you can't do now. And so I think you have to put anything about sports, anything about the NBA or baseball, you have to put it in the larger context of that our lives today are unlike we ever imagined them being, unless you read a lot of sci-fi novels.
Yeah. MLB.com correspondent, MLB Network contributor Richard Justice with us here on 95.7 The Game. Risk versus reward. How valuable is it to be the first team back playing sports? Remember, like we said at the beginning, we're all craving this in a big, big way. ESPN, all the major networks, all the radio stations, all the websites, you name it, they want something to talk about. If you're first back, you can get a whole lot of eyeballs, but is it worth that risk, Richard?
That's the thing. That's the question that has to be answered. When is it safe? And who's going to tell us when it's safe? Baseball has been working in conjunction with public health officials. The president had a conference call with all the commissioners over the weekend. He clearly has made it clear that he wants to get back, but you just have to make sure the doctors and the scientists are okay with it. And I think one of the things that's come up is if you have one player test positive, the NBA shut it down when one player tests positive. I think you're just going to have to monitor it. One of the prerequisites for going back is we have to have testing, the quick turnaround testing. Players are going to have to be constantly tested, and they're going to have to be honest about how they're feeling and all of that stuff. But, these are things we've never, ever dealt with before and hopefully we'll never have to deal with again.
How is baseball going to make up for the loss of Gate, even if they do come back and it's Arizona for a while and then they eventually are able to get back to home stadiums? How does baseball make up that lost revenue that can account for up to, what, an estimated $10 billion?
You're not. I mean, the Gate revenues are over half of the revenues. It's going to be a financial bloodbath this year in a lot of ways, and teams are going to be stressed. And the business side of it is not good. The game's business model for both the players and the owners is based on playing games. And when you're not playing games, there is no revenue. And so what the players and owners are looking at is, what can we do? You can make up some of it. There'll be more national games. The TV ratings are going to be crazy high, I mean, and all of that. But in terms of all the things, all the teams are trying to take care of workers. You have the hourly workers. You have this whole economy around playing games. You go to a baseball game and you see the people taking the money at the parking,
sure,
tickets, parking, hot dogs, everything. Not going to have any of that, but playing the games. I was at Candlestick Park after the earthquake in 89, and I felt the emotion in that ballpark. And I was at Shea Stadium in the first game back in New York City after September 11th, and you could feel it. So I guess I'm saying is, it's not going to make anybody healthier, any of that stuff, but from the mental side of it, it's part of getting our country back a little bit on track. I live in Houston, and in 2017, we were devastated by a hurricane. Now, the Astros did not dry one drop of water, but what they did was they gave the city something to rally around, right, and the players rallied around the city and vice versa. It's like what the Yankees meant to New York City after 9/11. For a couple hours each day, it gives you something else to think about.
Sure. Well said. And fast forwarding, we're talking about healing the country, healing baseball, all the sports. And there's a lot going on. We understand millions of people are losing jobs, homes, businesses, and we get that. And so moving forward, when you look at what's being lost at the Gate, the $10 billion revenue, over half of the MLB's money, what kind of impact will that have on free agency and moving forward? Like even next year, does it have any impact at all? Or you think that it'll be business as usual?
Yeah, everything's connected, every other little thing. Hasn't the NBA, the NBA has already done, I think there's been some projections about what the salary cap will be and all of that stuff. But I think you have to take it in the context of where we are in this country. The Houston Chronicle restaurant critic Allison Cook has estimated or has heard from other people estimates that the kill rate of restaurants in Houston could be 80%. Houston's a big, diverse restaurants, food city, not unlike San Francisco and Oakland. So let's take it all in perspective. There's a lot of healing to be done. I saw Dr. Fauci said yesterday, hey, look, if you're thinking of in terms of pre-coronavirus, we may not be there for a long, long time. But what can you do to take a step forward and a step back? That's what we're talking about.
MLB.com correspondent, MLB Network contributor Richard Justice, kind enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Richard, we know it was short notice. Thank you so much for coming on this morning, and please stay safe out there.
You too, guys. Thank you for having me.
I find myself
great interview.
Looking at my children and thinking, how do I explain this one day? Like, Dibs, this is probably what you had. Neither one was born before 9/11, right? Was it right around
Quest
there?
Quest was a baby. He was born in June of 01. So we actually were in Minnesota 2 days before for the Caner's wedding. Hurricane Gale got married in Minnesota, and we actually flew back 2 days before with Quest, who was darn near 3 months at that point. So, yeah, she's too young to really know what was going on, though, obviously.
But they've probably both at some point asked you what that was like. Like, what was it like living through that? What was it like for the country? I've thought to myself, at some point, this is the first thing I'm going to be asked by them. You know, they could ask about 9/11, but that's, 20 years before their time, essentially. But at some point, it's going to be, what was this? What was it like? I don't know how to explain it. Like, you can't, you think now when the three-year-old, he can't go outside, you don't really know what to say. You just have to come up with essentially, I don't want to say a lie, but parents right. know what I'm talking about. Like, you're not going to sit there and break down the situation for a three-year-old. They have no concept of this. But somewhere down the line, you know, what was COVID-19? Oh, well, let me sit you down and tell you about quite the era for all of us here on planet Earth.
Yeah.
How much time you got, buddy? That'll be right. That'll be a follow-up.
You know, you're going to have a ton of pictures and photos from the time, hopefully. And, you know, your wife does such a great job of chronicling everything that you'll be able to just go back to the photo series and say, hey, you know, this is what we did and this is what it was like. And hopefully by the time they're my kid's age, Lo, which is basically 15 years from now, our kids are the same gap in ages apart, 2035, hopefully we're not facing, you know, this on the regular with this being the new normal, quote unquote.
The COVID yeah. Chronicles. The COVID right. Chronicles.
Right. I think that you're going to look at this point in time and say how America was changed. I mean, 9/11 changed us. Look what it did. It changed the way that we go through airports. You know, we didn't like it at first, but now we understand it's a norm. You know, now you can't go in. You used to go meet your party or your loved ones at the gate. No longer can that happen. No longer will that happen because of 9/11. So it changed so many different things about the way we live. And Joe, this is no different. This COVID virus has going to change and impact the way that are your kids. You're going to say, hey, son, we used to shake hands. We used to hug. We used to do a lot of things when we do bro hugs and do different things that was essential for life and love. And this is what was nature. But now you guys look at, well, when someone shake, what boy, you're old, dad, because you still shake hands. They're going to look at certain things that you do and they're going to have no idea that something that's been done many years was altered by a virus. So certain things that were now cool are not going to be cool because of this coronavirus, Joe. So there will be indeed lots of things that you can tell your children.
Nice.
He brought it home. He brought it home. I thought we were going to get a pep talk about how we were going to beat this coronavirus. We will win. We will win. We haven't really
gone to
that
lately. He knows when to pull it out. He's not going to just give it to you every day.
No, you're right.
If Kennedy was out there telling you every day, asking you what you could do for your country, you'd be like, all right, JFK, get out of here. I don't need to hear about it. Lowe made a point like 2 weeks ago. It was the first time I heard anyone say it, and I haven't heard it much since, but I think it's going to ring true down the line. Paper money and coins. See ya.
Right.
We have the ability to get rid of that, it looks like. I mean, how many of us are still using it? And I'll tell you another thing. Vegas, you think people are going to want to handle dice and chips and cards and be touching? Like, they're going to have to go digital.
Yeah.
A lot of people aren't going to care. They'll still go back and, you know, some will forget about it. But ultimately, people are going to walk in and look around and go, man, this place is a cesspool. I don't want to pull this. I don't want to touch these slot machine buttons. I don't want to sit here and go through all this. Like, there's a lot of contact. You know, you go out in some of those pools, the kids don't really care, but I think it's going to alter Vegas significantly. You're going to need to start ramping up the digital offerings.
And I think it's also going to alter travel like we were talking about before. Maybe it was off the air, Joe, and whatnot, on how we're going to start, I think, getting to a point where we're going to test people before you travel. So not only will you go through the metal detector and you'll get, you know, the TSA check and all the pre-check, you'll have to go through some sort of medical checks, whether or not it's international travel only at first or if it's domestic travel. And I was telling Joe this, Low, about a possible investment idea about the future of self-testing and how our phones, which are basically computers in our hand, I believe in the future you'll be able to test yourself on your phone using some sort of a disposable mouthpiece that goes onto your phone. So you'll be able to always kind of be able to check yourself whether or not you have a fever or whether or not you can already do your blood oxygen and your pulse and all that stuff. I think the phone becomes more of a personal medical device as we continue down this road.
I think that there's so many different things, guys. Currency, as we know it, is going to change. You listen and you see what's going on in Europe.
It will not win. Currency will not win.
No, it won't. and I think that, Joe, and I think to your point, Dibs, of what you're saying, there will be a way to test medically, and it's going to be instantaneously. And how they're going to do that, when everyone starts getting the virus, the injection to the antibodies, they're going to probably have some type of, you can have a mechanism that they inject at the same time. So now it can be in conjunction to your phone. So you have like the chip that's in your body because of the virus that they're, you know, and now you have something that, like Dibs is saying. So now you go in, boom, it's is with your phone. You have a chip or something that's in your body. They can read it. All those things are coming, guys. As sure as Monday come after Sunday, it's here. We just don't see it as well as I do right now, but it's going to happen.
As well as you do. You're a visionary. You're the Oracle.
Read this book. That's all.
Let me throw something at you. I want to do something light. I wanted to squeeze it in for just a piece today. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. I stumbled across a particular Arnold Schwarzenegger movie last night. I didn't watch it. I just saw that it was on. I had too many things going on. I couldn't actually devote any time really to TV. Embarrassing to say the least, but regardless, this is where we're at. And I thought to myself, I think that's one of the all-time underrated Schwarzenegger movies. Then, somehow I found time late at night to just start compiling lists of Schwarzenegger movies, and I wanted to go top three Arnold movies. Just in your opinion, I wanted to see how aligned we are on this. Schwarzenegger's three best movies. Now, they don't have to be the three best in the eyes of everyone. They could be your three favorite, whatever it may be. But if you're going to make the case to build Mount Arnold more, which is what I was going to call it, but I didn't want it to be four. Right. I think once you get to four, you give people too many outs to where we all end up having the same. I think the number at three really puts people to a test. I think a lot of people are going to have one of them on there, and then I think most people are going to have another one on there. Three is where it gets interesting. So if it's Schwarzenegger's three best movies, which three would you go with? You don't even have to put them in order, just which three would be in there. I'm not sure which one of you is excited about it first. The big man with no Terminator, shirts leading in.
I mean, yeah, because no shirt, what does that tell you where I'm going to be? You know Terminator's going to be in there.
Are you talking the original Terminator, the original?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And then, Joe, let's go back to the day, one of his movies that people don't talk but don't get enough credit, Conan the Barbarian. I mean, how big coat? I mean,
okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, because I'm a man that's very diverse, and I want to go take you guys through, you know, what he's been able to do. So
sure.
Definitely. Those Dibs, why don't you chime in a little bit too, Dibs? I don't want to
Terminator and Conan. Conan's not going to be a popular one in my. I don't think Conan's going to be popular. I think you threw the first knuckleball of the group with that one. Terminator did not surprise me at all.
Conan's a little bit more for the older crowd. I was appreciating Lowe throwing it in there. I didn't actually have it in my three. It's on the outside looking in. If you went gold, silver, and bronze medal, which is kind of the way I was thinking about it, Joe, to avoid the Rushmore. Gold, silver, and bronze. For me, the gold is the Terminator. That's the one that everyone's going to have. That movie stands the test of time. His performance is unbelievable. Silver, for me, is Predator, just because that movie was mind-blowing as an action-slash-horror film in some ways. Predator stands out. And then my bronze is a little bit of an odd one. I just happen to love this movie. The Running Man. The Running Man, when it comes to Richard Dawson. I've always been a Running Man guy. I thought the idea was interesting where he has to go out into the dystopia society and survive, and they have, you know, it's all televised. It was one of the first, like, reality game show ideas. So I got Running Man Joe as my bronze medalist.
Interesting. Very interesting. Shasky's blowing me up right now. Shout out to Butcher Boy. Always great to hear from you. He said Conan was awesome. And then as
Thank
Shasky
you.
Is wont to do, he just pours in all the texts a few
Thanks,
words at
Shasky.
A time. The
next one,
that was my favorite movie, then cartoon, growing up. So Butcher Boy's on with Conan as well. Lo, who's your third? Do you go Predator? Because Predator gets a lot of love.
Oh, my God. So Predator would be two. I'm with Dibs on that. Predator would be two. And Conan.
Kill me. I'm here.
Yeah, oh my God. Hey,
I'm right here.
Get to the chopper. I mean, he was freaking just so. And you know what? You know what I hate about. Only thing that I hate about this particular actor, he and Stallone, I dislike what they did to America. I think they should have teamed up and played a villain and a good guy. They did it way too long. They waited too long to actually integrate with those guys going head to head.
Who's the good guy?
It doesn't matter. If those two would have had a movie in their heyday when they were freaking ripped and all these different things.
Mayweather-Pacquiao. Yeah,
Mayweather-Pacquiao
situation.
Don't you, do you not agree with those two? Should
yeah,
have did
and
that
the other thing was De Niro and Pacino waited too long, too. They appeared in Heat together.
Yeah.
Heat's an awesome movie. But the thing is, they didn't have a lot of scenes with one another. They did The Irishman together, so there were a lot of scenes. But everyone felt that they may have waited too long to team up on something as well. The one that jumps out for me, so I got Terminator and Predator. T2 is close. Terminator 2, which came out, like 10 years later with Robert Patrick, the liquid T-1000 or whatever it was, that movie was awesome. Edward Furlong playing John Connor, AC/DC or all the bands they had in that? Incredible.
Sweet.
But the one that ranks third, and I don't think a lot of people would have it, but I love the movie, is Total Recall. I think Total Recall, because you're not sure if he's in the dream or not. So you got a million things working around. You got Quaid and Quattro coming out of the guy's belly. Quaid, get to the reactor. You got that going on. You got the girl with the extra part, shall we say. Like the whole thing. Like Total Recall, that was the one I saw that was on last night. I was like, man, I haven't seen Total Recall in forever. Then immediately it turned, my emotion turned to anger because when they did the reboot with Colin Farrell and Kate Beckinsale, they totally ruined it as expected. I was so pissed when that was going to be coming out and they blew it with that. Even though I went to see it, Beckinsale was pretty good. But Sharon Stone was so awesome in the original Total Recall. Awesome. He doesn't know if he's Hopper. What are his names? His name Douglas Quaid and then Hopper, I want to say?
Text line. They'll let you know.
Shelton Autobody 95795. Shasky also coming in with Kindergarten Cop. Great friend of mine, Adam from law school, True Lies, says it has to be in there. True Lies is fantastic.
True Lies
Jamie
was
Lee
good.
Curtis
was
awesome in that movie.
True Lies.
And
no
so
doubt.
Was... But Tom Arnold was in that movie, too.
Tom
Arnold was great in that movie.
Yeah.
That was the most unbelievable thing, that Tom Arnold's a CIA agent. That was the most unbelievable thing. Not the F-16 on the Sunshine or the Key West Bridge. It was Tom Arnold as a CIA agent.
That's kind of like Gary Busey being a cop in Point Break, you know, as he's like, he's your prize detective, Gary Busey.
I was taking shrapnel and KSI while you were crapping in your hands and rubbing it on your face.
I'm partial to Twins.
Do you know who Arnold Schwarzenegger is?
Do you even know who that is?
Are you aware of these movies we're talking about?
Are you guys really going to condescend me right now? Are you really? When I know
that's
more about
what we do.
Schwarzenegger movies than any of you, you're all, it's all, this is child's play what you're talking about right
How
now.
Do you know more about, okay, you know what? I don't want to get into
a
fight with you.
So I'm not allowed to watch movies? Okay.
Well, what do you like? What are your three?
Well, my three, T2 would be my number one. Judgment
T2.
Day.
T2?
Yes.
Yes.
Terminator 2 would be my number one. And this is a personal list. This is just personal. I like Twins
Dibs,
a lot.
Listen to this guy,
so
Dibs.
Twins would
listen
be number two for
Dibs.
Me. And then number three, Predator. That's it.
Twins is good. Twins is Danny DeVito. He's the crap left over.
Yes, exactly. They were supposed to make two super twins, and instead, one of them got all the power, and one of them got none of it.
The crap left over.
One of them turned into Danny DeVito. And when he comes to that realization, it's sad in that movie. That movie has heart, man.
It does. The comedies he's done are not bad. Kindergarten Cop was more towards a comedy. Like you said, so was Twins. Those were both very, very good. No one mentions Pumping Iron. That was the first one. That's the one that got it all started.
Right.
Where he transitioned from bodybuilder into weightlifter. What about Last Action Hero? Was anyone a fan of that movie?
The movie was okay, but it pales in comparison to the other ones you mentioned. Total Recall, obviously, both the Terminators, the Predator. He had many more that were in Conan for the old school. Though I'm with you. I'm glad you brought that out.
Watch that one, Joe. If you got some, I know you said you're kind of in the, you know, binge watching on the weekends. Conan, you're going to be mildly surprised.
I don't think I've ever seen it. I have to go back and give that one a try. I'm willing to give that a try. Text line, show a lot about it going nuts. Commando. We didn't mention Commando. Perhaps the big breakthrough, a young Alyssa Milano. Playing Schwarzenegger's daughter, the way he gets off that plane, knocks the guy out and kills him with his elbow, then says that his friend is very, very tired, don't disrupt him. Then he jumps out of the plane and goes on his mission.
Oh, no, he's dead asleep. Hey, my friend, don't wake him. He's dead asleep.
He's dead tired.
That line of comedy, I'm like, are you kidding me? I was like,
Oh man. God. And Shasky weighing in again. T2 is his best movie. Okay, that Butcher Boy, that's enough. That's enough. He can't
all
just
caps,
have a direct
I hope.
Line.
He's
to
coming
the,
at you all caps?
No. Actually, the first letter of all of his sentences capitalized, everything else lowercase. It's the most professional I've ever seen him.
Very nice growing up.
He's out there fighting coyotes. He's out there fighting coyotes in the streets these days. He's got a whole thing with the coyotes he's
really?
Dealing with. Yeah, coyotes are walking the American streets now. There's a picture in Chicago.
Yeah.
The Magnificent Mile is completely shut down because no one's outside. There's coyotes walking down the Magnificent Mile.
That's freaking awesome.
You got coyotes all over the streets.
I'm loving
that.
All
right,
they got them swamp rats down there, downtown on Bourbon Street.
It's a great drop-in. Thanks. That was there before COVID-19, okay? Coronavirus had nothing to do with that.
Oh, Joe.
Coyotes weren't running Michigan Avenue prior to this. The swamp. Rats are... All right, if you're just getting to work, remember to keep listening to Joe Lo and Dibs on your mobile phone or desktop. If you haven't already, download the radio.com app and favorite 95.7 The Game. Take full advantage of Radio.com Rewind and other awesome features on the app. Big hour next. What's next for baseball? The NFL draft apparently has some more official details that are rolling out. We got a bunch for you. Dana White, let me ask you something. You okay with Dana White putting on these fights? Dana White is trying to reimagine the video game Mortal Kombat. You think I might be joking? I'm not. We'll tell you on the other side. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.